And John, the Apostle John, is the Apostle John has. Well, he was sitting at the table with Jesus. He was the disciple whom Jesus loved. And he has a unique, if you'll bear with me, he has a unique perspective of the Lord Jesus, and he has a unique perspective that is put into the Word. And he has written, by the Holy Spirit's leading, he has written the Gospel of John, he has written the epistles of John, and he has written the Revelation of John. And in the past weeks, I know I'm on good ground because we've had revelations mentioned and parts of it shared, and even again today, Revelation of John is revealing the Lord Jesus and in the last book of the Bible. And so this morning, I did tell Kevin that we'd be in the first chapter of all three of those books, but I didn't tell him I was going to start with Revelation, but I'm going to go to the back and work forward. What I hope that comes out from this word and from what the Lord has revealed in these verses, in these chapters, and what John has seen will be a comfort to you. It is a comfort to me. It is a blessing to see what John sees and to hear the word. And there's so much here that I certainly can't cover it all. And there's a facet of John's writing, and Paul does the same thing. And I suspect there are others that have a similar approach in coming to write an epistle and coming to write something like the Revelation of John. It's almost like they're putting down they're expressing their relationship with Jesus before they get started. And that's a blessing. And I hope that you'll see that and enjoy that and rest in that. I mentioned that, that as I'd spoken about abiding and believing, John talks a lot about abiding. And John also in chapter 6 writes what Jesus said to some of the lawyers and Pharisees that were desiring, right after the feeding of the 5,000, they were desiring to know what the work of, how do we work the works of God? Because Jesus had told them, you know, you're not here because of the Lord, because you love God, you're here because I fed you. And they wanted to know, well, what am I supposed to do? Well, and he said, the work of God for you is to believe in him whom he has sent. And that's pretty compact. That's something you can get your hands around. It's not too hard to memorize. So John is seeking to help us to believe. He wants us to know. He wants us to trust Jesus. He wants us to walk in his way. He wants us to be fed by him. He wants us to be, our thirst to be quenched by him. And he wants us to know the Savior that he knows. And so in the revelation of John, it's huge. I mean, the book goes at great length into what's going to happen. It has prophecy. It has all sorts of activity in heaven and on earth. It starts off with seeing the seven churches and then the letters to the seven churches. And then there's John is in the throne room of heaven. And he sees the seals, and the Lamb comes forth and breaks the seals. Can't cover all that right now. But we have had much teaching in this direction. I hope that we'll be you'll be reminded of things that you've heard and the things that the Lord has put in your heart, that he nuggets that he has left there. And just like Paul said last week, I advise you to buy from me gold from heaven. How do we do that? How do we do that? Paul did a great job of expressing that. And this trusting and believing in Jesus is how we have come. You have no money? Come from to me and buy gold that is spiritual. This is spiritual wealth. This is spiritual treasure. And Jesus wants us to know, and John wants us to see, and John wants us to have that treasure in heaven that comes from believing in Jesus. So I want to go to Revelation chapter 1. And I don't think I won't read all of this. There's a lot here, but some of this is, it's important to get the flavor of what John is doing. And again, he's introducing himself. He's not stating qualifications. He's stating what he has seen, what he has heard, and how it has touched him. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show to his bondservants the things which must shortly take place. And he sent and communicated by his angel to his bondservant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. And I want to pause there for a moment. There's a lot there. And I hope the Holy Spirit will open up to you is much of what John is talking about is the testimony of Jesus. In verse 2, John is bearing witness and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, even to all that he saw. I'm going to go on because he mentions it again. I'm going to continue. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come, and from the seven spirits who were before the throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth. This is not window dressing. This is not just something to kind of get you in the mood. He is stating truth. This is powerful truth. This is revelation of who Jesus is. He is the ruler of the kings of the earth. To him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood, we are there. We come to know the Lord Jesus by faith. And by faith, we see, and the Lord stirs up within us the ability. Hebrews chapter 11 talks about faith. And in faith, he says, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. All of this stuff is what you hope for. I hope you realize that. if you don't, you know, think about, consider, dwell upon the things that the Lord has said about himself, things that he gave John to say, things that he gave Paul to say, that we might have a knowledge of him, that we might see him, that we might be filled with him. That's what we're hoping for. And faith is the assurance that we're going to get that. We can be assured that he is going to accomplish his purpose, that he is the firstborn of the dead, the faithful witness, the ruler of the kings of the earth, verse 5 there, to him who loves us and released us from his sins by his blood. His blood has cleansed us, period. It does not, there is no doubt about it. It's not something that you have to wonder about. It's clear. And he made us, verse 6, to be a kingdom of priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. I believe this was read, or at least the kingdom of priests, that we are a kingdom of priests, was read earlier today. And we've heard that over and over again. We are priests to God, not by what we deserve, but by what he has given us. He has made us to have a relationship with him, to believe in him, to be comfortable with him, to know him, to be able to share from the throne room, just like John did here. He was sharing from heaven. And he has made us a kingdom of priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever. We give God glory when we believe in Jesus, when we speak truth, when we fellowship one with another about him, when we take the Lord's table, when we dwell upon his word together or in our own private time. He reveals himself and he wants us to see him. He wants us to know him. Verse 8, I am the Alpha and the Omega, says the Lord God, who is and who was and who is to come, the Almighty. What a powerful verse. He is the beginning and the end. He wants us to know that. He wants us to have that part of our being. That when we are confronted with things that confuse us or threaten us or bring darkness into a situation, He was there before, and he will be there after, forever and forever. Verse 9, I, John, your brother and fellow partaker in the tribulation and kingdom and perseverance which are in Jesus, was on the island called Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. He knew he was in prison. This was a exile. He was imprisoned. I don't think he was by himself. Kind of a penal colony. But he was there, and he was worshiping in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And he knew he was there because of the testimony of Jesus, because of the testimony that has come from his mouth, from the things that he saw and shared and couldn't be quiet about, didn't want to be quiet about. He wanted to be with brothers and sisters. He wanted them to know Jesus. He wanted them to know what he knew, to see what he saw, to hear the voice of Jesus coming from his mouth. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. Well, yes, so are we. We're in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. We come together desiring to be in the Spirit and for the Lord to lead by His Holy Spirit and to give us inspiration and to feed us, to give us the bread of heaven, to give us the water of life. And I turned, and I, verse 12, and I turned and to see the voice that was speaking to me, and I saw seven golden lampstands, and in the middle of the lampstands, one like a son of man, clothed in a robe reaching to the feet, girded across his breast with a golden girdle, and his head and his hair were white like white wool, like snow. And his eyes were like a flame of fire. And his feet were like burnished bronze when it has been caused to glow in a furnace. And his voice was like the sound of many waters. And in his right hand he held seven stars, and out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword. And his face was like the sun shining in its strength. We need to see John's reaction to this. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as a dead man, and he laid his right hand upon me, saying, "Do not be afraid. I am the first and the last and the living one. I was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. I have the keys of death and of Hades. Write therefore the things which you have seen, and the things which are, and the things which shall take place after these things. As for the mystery of the seven stars you saw in my right hand, and the seven golden lampstands, the seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven lampstands are the seven churches." Now, I know there's a lot there, and you may have had heard teaching, and I don't want to disagree with anything that you've heard, but what I see here, what John is relating is light. Everything, almost everything about Jesus, his hair was white like snow. Well, you know, when it snows and the next day the sun comes out, you can't even hardly look outside. It's so bright. And his eyes were like a flame of fire. His feet were like burnished bronze. All of this, he's glowing. He's glowing like he was revealed to John and to Peter. Was James with him as well? On the Mount of Transfiguration. He was glowing. He was shining with the light of God. It was coming out from him. He was a source of light. And he calls us to be in the light. He calls us to see the light, to reflect the light, and from within to be light. Because the Holy Spirit dwells within us. God Himself. And each of the churches is a lampstand. What's a lampstand for? It's light, right? And the lampstand is burning oil, and the oil is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit in the church is on fire and giving light from heaven. Light that the world doesn't see. But if we will believe and trust in Him, He will show us the light. He will reveal Himself. The light that is in us, even if it is not seen as light like we see on earth, the sun shining, it is the light that gives life to men. Our testimony before the world is light. It comes from within. A city set on a hill cannot be hid. That light cannot be hid. It goes forth from us. When Jimmy goes out to these events to give out the word, I know, I've been with him a couple at that school in Denton, middle school, and he shines. We shine when we're speaking of the Lord, when we're beholding the Lord, when we're in prayer, when we consider and share with those who have need. All right. I want to go to 1 John. First epistle of John, the first chapter, first verse. What was from the beginning, what we have heard, what we have seen with our eyes, what we have beheld and our hands have handled concerning the word of life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you the eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us. What we have seen and heard, we proclaim to you also, that you also may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And these things we write so that our joy may be made complete. John is expressing how his spiritual life has gone. He has handled Jesus. He has been with him. He has been with the other brothers, the other apostles who saw Jesus. They have been together. They have shared. They broke bread. They shared the table together with Jesus. They went off to carry the gospel to all the world. Jesus is the word of life. And we're going to go to the gospel of John, the first chapter. And you'll, of course, remember about the word is written there. And I'm wanting to read it, so we'll be reminded of it. But here he's saying, just to finish this part up, and the life was manifested, and we have seen and bear witness and proclaim to you. He is testifying that Jesus has made himself to be our Savior, to give us eternal life. He has shown us God beyond our understanding. And I am so glad we're not limited to our understanding. He opens our eyes. He gives us the ability to understand. He helps us to know that His blood has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. He wants us to know that our feet are planted on the rock. He wants us to know that He will feed us. He will care for us. All of these things He will do, that we may have fellowship one with another and with Him. Him John, Him Jesus, Him God, and God the Holy Spirit. And each one of us, we aren't outside looking in. We're on the inside. Verse 5. And this is the message we have heard from Him and announced to you, that God is light. And in Him there is no darkness at all. And if we say we have fellowship with him and yet walk in the darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, if we abide with him, we walk in the light. If we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. That's why we're here. That's why I'm here. And I hope that's why you're here, because I'm enjoying it with you, whether you know it or not. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God is light, and the light of God is in us. And because we see the light, because we have been surrounded by the light, we know and can know and trust that even though we are still in the flesh in this world, that our sin has been taken away. And it's not just ignored. It is forgotten. It is gone. There is no claim anyone can make. Jesus Christ is our advocate in heaven. When the accuser comes to accuse us of falling short, oh, you should have done that, or oh, maybe, what about, you know, you really aren't paying attention. Are you reading every day? That's the enemy coming to make us, trying to condemn us. There is no condemnation, as Paul told us. Jesus is with us. We are cleansed to the uttermost. All right. Let me go over to the Gospel of John, chapter 1. And this is all very familiar to you, but I want you to see it in the light that, you know, John is introducing an epistle. He is introducing revelation. He is introducing the gospel of John that he's writing, that God has commissioned him to write, which is such a beautiful gospel. He is introducing himself that we may know that what he has written has come from God. And what has changed him is the power of the Holy Spirit. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. That may seem a little bit hard to understand, but I've seen it this way, and you don't have to agree with me, but I hope you will. In the beginning was the Word. What happened? Before the foundations of the world, what was out there? The creation hadn't begun yet. In the beginning was the Word. Who is the Word? We know Jesus is the Word because we've read the end of the book. We know Jesus is the Word, but where did the Word come from? It came out of the mouth of God. He came forth. He was not created. He was spoken by God the Father. Now, if that causes you to struggle, please don't. The Word is God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him. And apart from him, nothing came into being that has come into being. The power of the Word created all things. Jesus spoke them into existence after he came forth from the Father. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now, I struggled a little bit with comprehending. It's not that I struggled with it. I didn't quite see the importance of it. But what that word means is the darkness did not overpower it. Jesus, God is, he wins. He is the victor. He has overcome every obstacle. He has overcome our selfishness, sinfulness. He has made all things new. He has caused all things to be. And he will put all things in order that have been knocked out of order. Just to continue, here we are. Verse 6. There came a man sent from God whose name was John. This is John the Baptist. He came for a witness. He has sent us forth as a witness. He, God, he, the Holy Spirit, he, Jesus. He came forth for a witness that he might bear witness of the light, that all might believe through him. So we're included in all that. We are believing through the witness of John, but we're also bearing the witness of John. He was not the light, but he came that he might bear witness of the light. That's us. There was a true light, which coming into the world enlightens every man. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and those who were his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, as many as believed and trusted in him, many as received him, to them he gave the right, the authority to be the children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, glory as of the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. Jesus is the source of light. He is the source of life. And that life is not the life just as we see it here, for all men partake of that and all creatures partake of that. We partake also of the heavenly life, the spiritual life. What John would see in Revelation, he was taken into the very throne room where spiritual life is what there is. Life there is spiritual. It is our God and our Savior together on the throne over all things, King of kings, Lord of lords, very God of very God. He is the King. We have nothing to fear. We are filled. The enemy wants us to be afraid. The enemy wants us to question. The enemy wants us to feel guilty. But we have no need of all that. We don't have to participate in that. He has overcome, and he will overcome, and he wants us to rest in him, to abide in him, to abide together, to have fellowship one with another, to have joy in who he is, to be healed of all our infirmities, that our spirit, that our soul would be renewed. We were not born of flesh and blood, nor of the, not of blood, not of the, verse 13 here, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but God's will. God's will. We have been born because He has made it so. We are born again because He has done it. There needs to be no excuse offered. We are His entirely. And He has responsibility over us and is leading us and is giving us all that we need. And yes, we struggle. Sometimes we fail. But He is still victorious. Lord, we are thankful that You have revealed Yourself in the Word. We are thankful. I look forward to eternity when we can sit with Paul and with John and with Abraham and with all the saints that have gone before us, who have dwelt in the light and have received life from You. And that life goes on forever and ever. And Lord, we try to picture it through our understanding and knowledge of earth. And there is some there's understanding that we can see because Your hand is upon all that was in creation. But Lord, we know that You will reveal to us all that is needed, all that was ever intended, You will cause to come into being. We thank You, Lord. You are not hesitant to give us Your promises, and You are not hesitant to fulfill them. We thank You, Lord, and we ask You to be with us, to help us to walk with You and to see You as You are. Praise Your holy name. Thank You, Lord.